coming up next in this episode.
And people up-level. They up-level. They end up adding some zeros to their bottom line as well because they're living in abundance and they're also fully expressed and they're less worried about what people are going to think. They've been dipped in that soul spiritual Rain-X and all that other crap just rolls right off of them and they're able to show up in their fullness. Thank you, Sandy Semler, for joining us today. Thank you for having me. I know it's an honor to be in this space, so thank you.
Well, and I didn't even really say who you are or what you do other than what impact. Sandy and I met just a few short months ago now, not even a year ago, and we met at a Joe Dispenza event. And a good friend of ours, Stephen Klein, who's the super connector, said, right as he does, like in the middle of chaos, you have to meet this person. And Sandy bends down, looks up at me with her hat on that said sacred with a K, she, and I instantly noticed, I was like, wow, what is that? And she looks up at me, and she goes, what is your love story? And my heart melted. And I said, I don't know, but that's the best freaking question I've ever been asked. Who are you? And then we and Christine, Dr. Schaffner and I ended up having dinner with Sandy, and she started to share what her work is and how she helps women mostly, but men and women, couples, to stand in their own light, in their own power, in their own divinity, and bring in their femininity embodied with embodiment work. As she was speaking, I'm like, what's happening right now? I feel like I'm listening to myself, but she does it differently, but very much dealing with trauma, dealing with letting go of the patterns that no longer serve us and helping us widen into our light body. And the littlest thing she said that night was so, she said a lot of things. It was not little, I shouldn't say, but it was one of the many things she mentioned. She didn't know how impactful it was for me, how much I heard it, how much I received it, how much it changed me. And I couldn't find her all weekend after that. I was like looking for her. And then when we finally reconnected, it was never going to be the same again. My life was, it has changed both of us, I believe, that weekend.
100%. Yeah, it definitely was a love story. And thank you for reminding me of how powerful that is. Like, what's your love story with? It's never really about a partnership with our lover. It really is about the lover within. And I learned that from my friend Charity years ago, who Stephen also knows, of course. And so thank you again for having me. I mean, this is just one of many opportunities for us to be able to serve together communities and the world, but also really, again, it's about each other. So thank you.
Absolutely. So share, so I don't even know where to start with you, but truly, what is your love story? How did you get here? And what is the work you're doing that's impacting the world at large and how you work with clients, both virtually and in person? And you just have so much to offer everyone.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it really is hard to put it all in one little elevator pitch. But essentially, what I like to say is I unapologetically, you know, step in and help women learn how to rewild, you know, who they are. And what I mean by that is like to just really go back to the roots of where we were before we ever had any schisms, ever anything that ever happened to us that made us ever feel anything other than just a bashed childlike joy. And if you would have told me, you know, 13 years ago, this would be my passion, I would have told you you were crazy because I was, you know, owned mortgage companies and I was in banking and I was doing consulting and I had a huge team of women around the world that I was consulting with and helping entrepreneurs. And I was a very driven woman. And it took an intervention with Tony Robbins, 4 hours, you know, where it was just the two of us going back and forth. And he was giving it to me. And quite frankly, I was giving it to him. And he made me realize I was showing up as a woman who was successful in life and not so much in my personal relationships, because I was really walking through life like a bulldog, just ready to railroad people and very much a go mode. And it opened my eyes. It broke up a relationship I was in. And I basically put down my sword of to ever emasculate men again, or at least that's what I wanted to aspire towards. And I started studying with teachers around the world, trying to understand what was going on, because I had left an abusive marriage years ago and I had done the traditional, you know, several times a week and regular therapy. And I didn't date during those 2 years while I was going through that divorce. I started another business. I mean, I thought I was doing it right. And I was, for who I was at the time and who my therapist was at the time and my mentor and such.
where the frequency was of the society.
100%. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so, but as soon as I started dating again, I ended up in another relationship that really had me where I was. And my best friend, Rachel, who, you know, Sacred She, who, what is, which is my company, she just looked at me and she said, enough. We need to look at the patterns of why you keep bringing this to your life. And what I realized, Kelly, you know, through the work is that I realized I had done a lot of healing up here, but nothing like the IV of the brain, you know, was here, but nothing had really seeped into my body. And what I needed was to basically poke holes, you know, poke holes and go like, and let it all just seep in. So yeah, I really wanted to understand this masculine feminine energetics because it was popped in my lap. And I really wanted to understand it. Now, it's much more mainstream out there in the world to talk about this. What I realized, though, is that I would go to all these retreats and come back, and I had all this knowledge. Again, I wanted to teach this and started teaching it to my women because I worked with so many successful women. But I would, when I Google mapped their life, what I realized is that they actually weren't very fulfilled. There was a lot of guilt and shame they felt for working, you know, working outside the home. And then their relationships were suffering. And there's whole thing in society around, which, you know, is not necessarily PC to say, but I'm just going to say it, you know, is the more rights that we get as women and the more that we think we have to compete with men to basically get ahead without realizing that our feminine intuition, that the beautiful qualities of the feminine in general, and all of us, it's not gender specific, is needed, the worse off we actually are. So I know that maybe we'll, what I realized too is I go to these retreats, I come home, I'd lead these retreats and I'd come home. And what I realized is that people were starting to think that you needed to, the feminine was, you know, an umbrella in your drink and dancing, or it was a goddess circle, you know, out in Sedona. So how could I actually bring more of the actual feminine energy back into our everyday life, which I know is something we bonded over. And not just the feminine, it really is about our masculine. Our masculine is going to actually give us the structure and the boundaries that so many women, you know, don't have. And so the, again, as the feminine masculine is in all of us, it's not gender specific. And I know your audience knows that. I really like to work with the nuance of them both. And I don't say balance because there's a harmonization that happens in our moment to moment practice. And I really teach that our life is a living prayer. I mean, we are here to literally live life moment to moment to moment while we are in this beautiful University of Earth School. And so I just have taken all my experiences and I have put it into courses and teachings, and I just keep leveling up. And as I level it, you know, as my life's my dharma, I bring it back to you. So, you know, I'm in a relationship now with my husband of now 5 years, and I truly believe that the last 5% of our true ascension is happening in partnership. It's so easy to be single. I promise you, anybody who's listening who thinks it's hard to be single, it's so much easier to be single. But being in partnership, especially at the space where I am, where I personally believe that the feminine is going to be an oracle for the masculine and all. You know, my feminine was an oracle for your masculine, Kelly, when we met, where I was able to say the thing that stung you back to consciousness, right? Because you were in your own zone, right? And then I also believe the masculine in us will actually, you know, open the heart of the feminine that's closed. And this is with our partners, you know, in any relationship, in friendships and sisters. So it's not just about our love life. It's so much more than that. And I can see where I was able to take this work into business. And when I'm talking to my clients who we focus more on business, you know, the truth is how we do anything is how we do everything. So somebody may hire me for business, but it always ends up in relationship and vice versa. So, you know, it's this culmination of everything I've experienced in my life to where I am now. And as I've, you know, been alchemizing things in my current relationship, as I was saying this before we hit record, the people that are working with me now are getting a whole nother level of Sandy Sepler of what I didn't know before I knew it. And I have no shame and no pride in calling my own foul. And then if I can help people save time, energy, money, and some heartache and heartbreak, I don't want to teach them to bypass or spiritually bypass anything. But if there's any wisdom that I can give them that I've experienced on my 53 years on this planet, and way before that, I'm sure, I'm going to bring it to you. And I enjoy seeing others back to consciousness with immense grace and love. And I sure as heck love, you know, when I can actually pry open a heart that's been just dying to be seen, heard, and understood and feel safe.
So you're all the things. Like, you're so beautiful, you're so powerful, and everything you just said, I feel, embody, empathize, and want our listeners to understand, feel, and know that we're ideally always evolving. And one of the things you said was every moment in your life you're grateful for because it led you to the next, led you to the next. And through your own evolution, you've been able to take that content of life.
Yes.
And give it back to others to go, look, I've been there. And because we're all the mothers of everybody else, whether we're a mom or not, our goal is to love on another as though we're them, right? And to reflect back, hey, learn from my mistakes. In a herd, that's what you do. And humans are herding animals, even though somehow they've tried to separate us in different ways. But really, we're all the same. And we're all here to ideally live as a societal herding organism that realizes it's divine. And as evolution goes, I'd say since the women's movement, whenever that started, 50s, 60s, that's evolved because we, at first, like as a 50-year-old woman, it was like, I'm going to go be a man and I mean more masculine.
Sure.
So I can achieve and accomplish and strive in this masculine world because I want to be accomplishing. Or I want to be, now women are like, I don't need to work. I want to be the greatest mom on the planet and like homestead and like do. And now we can honor that. Whereas 20 years ago, we couldn't. So now we're evolving. And how do we bring these worlds together is really the question of how do we become these strong, striving, powerful, divine beings that fail and falter and are willing to be vulnerable. And I mean, that was the thing about Sandy and I. The moment she started talking at that dinner, I was like, well, actually, the moment you were like, what's your love story? I was like, oh, she's vulnerable and she's willing to be open. I like felt it from you. Mm-hmm. And that vulnerability is such a gift. I think that's what we both really strive to help others. Isn't that divinity, is vulnerability?
Absolutely. And something that I didn't even realize that I thought that I was vulnerable back in the day. But what I realized is that it was more of a passive aggressive way to like get. It's very codependency, you know, when you're sharing to get something, right? To get something back, which I did not understand. And you know, that's the more the toxic feminine
element.
It's the toxic feminine in all of us, right? To, and so, you know, for me, if we, and I know you, I've met your partner and what a love, right? And you're raising this gorgeous other creature, this young man who's going to be an amazing partner to his partner down the line. We need more men that are, you know, that are heart-centered, that are that have a healthy feminine energy, that also are able to look at us and say, no. You know, I think every woman that I've met, and I mean this sincerely, and I've worked with a lot, like thousands of women around the world, doesn't matter the culture, that when I really get down to the grassroots, I'm like, you know, at your core, don't you want to not be able to get away with murder with your partner? And the answer is like, well, you know, and it's always this little giggle. It's like, no, because listen, we, the feminine in all of us, and this works with same-sex relationships too, you know, we want to be seen, heard, understood, and we want to feel safe. The masculine in all of us wants freedom. We don't want to be controlled. We want vitality. We want energy. We want to be like building and going and creating. And so how do they collide? First off, just acknowledge them. I mean, it really is, you know, quantum physics that we can be aware of it. We can acknowledge it. We can accept it. And then this is the part where the feminine comes in. We have to also be able to allow it. And the allowing is the feminine of receivership. And that's where, you know, when you and I had talked about money and abundance and such, it is the, when I find someone is having issues with contracts or bringing in revenue, it generally is a mother wound. It's a feminine wound. It's about a receivership and it's about worth, or it's a masculine wound around boundaries. And I think more women would probably rule the world if they would heal more of their, both their feminine and masculine, where they're able to actually honor their word, right? And not get their feelings all hurt because somebody didn't do the thing, but they're able to show up in integrity and have a hard conversation in the way I like to teach, you know, embodied communication. You know, because just like me, I'll call my own foul. How many times have I overgiven? Hello, no boundaries. How many times have I actually undercharged? How many times have I given away my wares for free? And then I'm resentful for it. versus owning the fact that, you know, the X, the Y, the Z, and then frustrated and bitter. And this is, I mean, this is in relationships with men, you know, probably volunteered way too much when my son was in school, you know, all that stuff that we're doing, right? Oh.
It's, yeah, it's like, I mean, I want to put my hand on my forehead right now and just go, oh, sigh, relief, because it's so true. And meeting you, I would definitely say I was an overgiver, oversharer, over all the things, you know, and you gave me unknowingly this little tool that changed me by just talking about how to walk, which was something I kind of asked for 2 weeks prior in a conversation with Ian, that then you gave me the answer for. Then I embodied, and it literally started to change my physical being and my emotional and spiritual being, helped me be in more alignment. And all I wanted to do was give back to you. I just wanted to give you so much because you gave me something. And then you wanted to give me something in return for that, which was just honor me on a birthday and celebrate. And how much struggle did I freaking have? And I kept going, holy shit, I'm so glad.
So great. Can I just say,
anybody else, I would be like so struggling, but I know this is part of my work that I'm like supposed to receive this party from you, even though I just met you. You've known me for 5 fucking months. And what the fuck are you doing all this for?
It was. Can I tell you? I literally had to say, and I'm just going to share this because we've given permission just to say it. I had to say, Kelly, my mask went, Kelly, stop. This is a practice. Receive. She's like, okay, I receive. And I mean, and listen, we were throwing her a birthday party, and you would have thought that we were pulling out her fingernails with, you know, with pliers. And it was, but listen, I mean, it's not funny because we all have been there. And it is, that's why instead of saying thank you, I teach women to go to really slow down. And men do, like, oh God, I received that. Like, I received that compliment. I received the abundance. Like, I received creator. Thank you. It's so much deeper of a gratitude practice, right? It's so much deeper.
Well, that's to my next point about what you said in the very beginning. It's like, because you embody what you do and you keep evolving and you keep bringing that in, it becomes more efficient and effective. But there are so many layers, and it does get more fun. Oh, by the way, even to the point where I know that the weekend that I met you was a weekend I also had my scar injected. You gave me this. I know it led to my elbow breaking.
Yeah.
And I know that here I was having to receive this party. Now, all of a sudden, I have a broken elbow that I'm showing up with that I don't know this broken. And now, the night before the party, I become aware that all these people, while I don't know them for a long time, I know who they are as people, and I know they're willing to give. And so it was a big deal for me to ask for a coherence healing the next day. But I felt so supported by you. I felt so supported by the community. And I know that you and Sophia and Ian being there was a huge piece of this for me, to just know that, like, okay, I know these people. I know them. I know them. And I knew everybody there at some level. But it was a big deal. And I know that it was part of my embodiment. And I giggled about it. I was like, not only do I have to receive this party, but now I got to receive a coherence healing at the party just to put a little pom-pom. You know, God love her. She gives me a tambourine for my birthday because I don't use my hips. And I, you know, she's like, oh, and like, this is the embodiment of life, to have fun. I was like, a tambourine is the most fun gift I had received at that point until I received my narwhal suit. Like, but it was all fun. Like, I came home and I looked in my suitcase. I'm like, what a fun freaking birthday party this was. I got a take two, a tambourine, a narwhal suit. I am 50 and I'm embodying being 12 again.
Well, and I tell you, so one of the things for me when I started working with deeper teachers and the training around the embodiment, so many people think feminine embodiment is around sensuality and sexuality and, you know, and hey, it's that too, for sure. However, like I said, if I can help women, you know, literally learn to express themselves one inch wider in a feminine expression and go one inch deeper in their masculine consciousness, amen to that. My goal obviously is more than that. But what I was going to say is that what I was, you know, my first embodiment practice that was outside of dance, because I love teaching movement, I love teaching dance, was honestly it was pointed out that my body had been hardwired for disappointment. I was so ready for disappointment. I was just calling it in. disappointment from generally from men, from the masculine of the world. So healing my own masculine to be able to see the sacred masculine in everyone. The FedEx driver that always comes at 1:02. My Roomba, it never fails. At 2 o'clock, it's going to go off. And if I don't remember, if I'm recording something, I'm like, oh, there she is again. Elefante, we call her. Here she comes. I mean, that's the sacred masculine in the program, right? That's this. And so to be able to see the masculine in all things and heal that. So for me, what the first practice that I was given by my teacher at the time was, I want you to, for 10 minutes a day, I want you to skip for 30 days in public, because I want to rewire yourself to be able to know that you're not going to die if you feel joy and if you're embarrassed. And I was like, holy cow. And it was like, oh, you're going to get kicked out of the program. I'm like, okay. So to be witness. Okay.
So getting you, driving you, the masculine, I will not be kicked out of the program.
Exactly. I will not. And so that competitive side of me, right? And so again, I want to go back to something you just said too about when we were here for the party and when you spoke up and you, listen, the feminine intuition, so I could put it in context in real life teaching, the context is you're feeling into the moment feminine. There was something that you needed. There was desire. There was something that you knew that the world would be better if Kelly got this coherence healing. It was a healthy desire. And then your masculine went, I'm up for the job. I'm asking for this for you. And that's what I call it. We're husbanding ourselves. We're husbanding ourselves. And you know, some people like to say midwifing themselves. I'll say husbanding yourself to be able to know that you know that you know that the world was better because we offered that and you know, to you because you asked. How many people do I work with that they think that they come in and they need their partner to change? I just need to work with one person for a relationship to shift or for them to control outwardly the relationship that they're in, or to call in a different relationship with themselves, with their employees, with their employer, with their partner. I mean, whatever it is, it all starts with, you know, looking in the mirror and being able to actually, and not just metaphorically the man in the mirror, but I mean, one of the best embodiment practices is honestly a mirror practice to look yourself in your own left eye and be able to say, Sandy, what I love about you is your beautiful open heart. Sandy, what I love about you, and then me to go, I receive that, right? And then start over again. And it is one of the hardest things to be able to literally look at yourself and state all the things that you love. That's with your clothes on. If you want to go even deeper, take your damn clothes off and look in the mirror. That's a whole nother level. And it's honestly to be able to be naked, that is rewilding. So for me, the first emotion that I like to play with women is going to their little girl that lives within. I don't say inner child, I say little girl, because the next piece is actually, I went down the line, is to be able to work with your inner teenager. And that's, and because I think there's 10 women that live inside of us. We're just starting to meet all of them through my teachings with you, I know. But that inner teenager is the rebellious part of us who actually maybe wasn't seen, or maybe she rebelled, and we all need her in us. And so there's a coming of age with her as well. So little girl, little teenager. And then also the other, and that is your sacred rage. So we've got the unabashed joy of our, you know, our joyful playmate, I like to call her. And then we also have, you know, our dangerous challenger, which is our sacred teenager. And that's where sacred rage is. Those two emotions, joy and rage. And these are both heart open. Rage without an open heart is abuse. And abuse towards ourselves or abuse to the person that we're raging. And so if we put these in practices, you know, we practice yoga, we practice piano, we practice meditation. So these types of meditations and practices that I give women and men to allow us to experience life, just point blank, not do life, but just experience life. Something that, again, I wasn't doing. I was doing it, but I was sure as heck wasn't being it. And I was leaving a wake behind me of a lot of destruction.
There's so many Sandy-isms. I'm going to start calling them Sandy-isms. Like, there's just so, like, what did you say earlier? Did you just say bless my heart? Did you really?
I thought you were going to give that a Sandy-ism because it seems like it should be. Bless your heart.
Bless your little heart. Well, that's a Southernism that we were left.
That's, yeah, that's a Southern passive aggressivism. How you do anything is how you do everything.
Yeah, that's huge. How you do, and what I've seen and what I've had, like Nina, who was at the party, right? When she came in to help with the business, you know, God bless her soul. She said, God bless her little heart. You know, I've been working with you and living with you guys for a long time. And really, I would like to just offer that if you like change your communication with Ian, everything in the business will change and how you deal with your team members will change. And I was like so resistant to her. God bless us that we've known each other's hearts so we could overcome that and remain friends and all the things. And she's right. Like when I saw her at the party, I was like, well, you were right. Look, yeah. Look how much better Ian and I are and look how much better the business is. And, you know, what you had said about finances that day to me and walking in the feminine and masculine helped me understand what I was doing differently and embracing the masculine and feminine. Not that I pushed. I mean, I've been trying to understand masculine and feminine, how to bring them together forever. Is so. But your little, like, I want everybody to replay this and rewind because Sandy-isms are throughout it. And she drops these bombs in like three sentences. She'll have six bombs of beautiful bombs of implosions, of expansions, of knowledge, of like, no, listen to what she just said. Because it really is about learning the masculine and how to be this strong tribe. But while we're feminine and bringing that into business is new. I don't think many of us know how to do that. And watching Sandy, like I looked at her and was like, well, I don't know what you're doing when I met you, but I was like, I want what she's having. Because she just embodied this really chill, confident, knowing, vulnerable, curious, open-hearted, fun-loving, let's just play, let's get down to brass tacks and really talk about it. Make sure we know all the details while we look at the flow of it and dance with it and laugh about it. All at the same time, I was like, oh my God, this is great.
It feels a little, when you're describing that, it to someone who doesn't understand it, it sounds a little schizophrenic. And let me say, I mean, It does, doesn't it? It's like,
oh, I appreciate saying that because I think people see me sometimes as schizophrenic in the flow state of being present.
Yeah. And sister, I'll say this too. I mean, I know one of the things when women start doing this work and if they're already in partnership, there's a way that we can, because I believe in full body expression, I call it sacred theater, where we can bring our art into our emotions. It starts with us first, and then we bring it to our partner. And like the sacred pout or the ouch, just to say ouch for someone, if their feelings are hurt, is like, wow. And to say that to their partner can shift it. You know, when I find when someone says the typical, I'm too much, I can't find someone who's going to be able to handle me, blah, 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 all that stuff that I used to say. The truth is probably, first off, you're calling in this, some of that too, and that's just energetics. But the other piece is that you might be attracting partners or people in your life, employees or what have you, that actually don't have a very strong core masculine that can hold it. Now, they can hold all of your energy, but that doesn't mean that you're too much. So the first thing is, it's not that you're too much. There also might be a way that you are expressing yourself that is emasculating and you don't even realize it. And so, and that's where you're probably not expressing yourself from your heart. That's a very protective way when someone says, oh, someone just can't handle me. There aren't good men out there. There aren't, you know, I can't meet a conscious man or whatever. I mean, we don't need a ponytail, you know, person, a ponytail guy, or meet someone in yoga class to know that they're embodied. I know for 3 years I worked with different practice partners at workshops where we did never know anybody's name, but we would do 45-minute practices of, you know, I see, I feel practices. I see is the masculine, I feel. You go back and forth, and your body becomes attuned to what is trustable. And so you begin to trust your yeses and your noes. And for both men and women, so the men are going out in the world, you know, primed to be able to hold more abundance, right? They're able to actually hold more emotion. And if we can have more men like Ian, they can actually show up in the world open-hearted, but also be masculine where they can actually not take anybody's crap. We need us to be able to do the same thing. That's what feminine leadership to me is that we are our emotional intelligence is so strong And we are able to actually lead with that and know what's best for the world. And I will say this, when I first started doing this work, it was so black and white. Most people do feminine work when they first start finding out about this. And I think we're going to give the quiz out and just, we'll talk about that. But they do feminine work in a masculine way. How much work can they get done? And my thing is that just slowing yourself down. And I talked about honoring your word, and integrity is a masculine quality, and it is. I can tell you that also got me in trouble about a decade ago, because I was like, I said I was going to do it, and I'm going to do it because I'm working on this. However, I didn't feel into it. Maybe something shifted. And there's who we are being when we make an obligation that matters. And so what I learned through lots of trials and error is that if we have to break a commitment, it doesn't mean that we're not strong in integrity. It's how we do it that matters. And so, hey, you know what? I owe you an apology. When I offered this blank, I was actually in a different space. And I'm realizing that this actually isn't going to serve you or me for me to honor that. That could be going to dinner. It could be a contract. It could be whatever it is. And if you trust who you're being in the moment when you first made the agreement, but also if you have to amend it, and that person can't receive that boundary of yours, well, that says a lot about them as well. But that is in the nuance of how we communicate. That is extremely, I call it dialogically. Can you speak dialogically? It's dialogically is a total made up word, which is, hey, I can see that really bothered you. I'm imagining that me breaking this date with you is might ruffle some feathers and it might inconvenience you. And I'm sorry for that. And so you see what I mean? So it's a way.
I'm also honoring me, and I see you, and it's this dialogue communication of like, I can honor what I see. Oh, there's so many things. I can honor and see who you are, and the be versus the do. I mean, bringing that up and in through this, we talk about it all the time, but what you're saying is so true. Like, we can do life, we can experience life, right? That was one of the Sandiasa.
Yeah.
And it's really about being versus doing. And what you taught me in these practices that she talks about, like when I first met Sandy, I kept going, I don't understand. What do you do? What does practicing mean? You know, it was kind of like meeting Ian and going, be, just go be. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it took me 26 years. I'm a much faster learner. Mm-hmm. I only knew Sandy for about 2 months before I was like, oh, and here's how. Because I realized what she gave me was embodiment practice. Can I tell them what you said? Can I give them?
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. Yeah.
So about 2 weeks before I met her, I said to Ian, I was coming down the stairs in the morning, dressed in my pretty dresses that I used to wear before I broke my elbow and live in onesies, but I used to wear pretty dresses all the time for the last couple of years and embodying my femininity. I never really wore pretty dresses. That was never really my thing. So as I've done it, but I realized, I said to Ian as I walked down the steps, I said, you know, it's pretty funny I wear these dresses because I sure look like a woman, but I certainly don't walk like one. And I just kind of, and he's always made a comment that I walk like an elephant. You can hear me walking up and down the hallway. And I'm always like, you know, yep, that's just the way I walk. 2 weeks later, I'm at a dinner with Sandy, and she mentions about one of the things she does to explain her embodiment practice is she teaches women to walk with an S curve, meaning they're walking with one foot crossing over the other, really moving their hips. And I'm sitting across from her giggling on the inside going, wow, universe, that is pretty quick. 2 whole weeks is all that took. I mentioned it. You're giving me the answer right now. Thank you very much. The next morning, we do a walking meditation because we're at Joe Dispenza's advanced retreat. And he goes, okay, in this meditation, he's like, I want you to walk as if. And I go, all right, I'm going to walk as if I am that divine feminine being that knows how to walk like a woman. And I take that first step and look like I had just got out of a wheelchair and I'd never walked before in my life. I almost fell over. I opened my eyes because I thought I was going to fall over. And who's walking right by me? Dr. Joe Dispenza. And I just start giggling because I got nothing left. I mean, he's walked by me one other time that first, and I was screaming at Silas on a cell phone on my very first advanced follow-up. And I thought, I've come a long way. And in 2 years, I went from yelling at my kid who wasn't in the flow state while I was in the flow state about not being in the flow state. So I'm walking as an embodied divine being and really funny bad at it. Like I just learned to get legs and had to laugh at my humanity and laugh at my willingness to be vulnerable and silly and learn.
Well, we call it baby giraffe legs in our community. So you're that is baby giraffe legs. It really is, because it's awkward, because when we're walking in the mask, then we're like, our feet are side by side. And that's where like this new rendition of that is, like the sacred she strut, which is a whole nother level of empowerment of walking. But there's so much trauma that we hold in our hips, right? I mean, you know this, we hold in our hips. And so there's ways that we can do hip circles. There's ways that we can, you know, soften our jaw. But just with that little walk alone, I mean, you can even practice that. And you and I, we giggle about this, and we've worked on this, you know, is go into the grocery store to get a can of beans. You can go in there, go get the can of beans and put in the cart, or you can saunter in and you can walk down aisle 9 and you can, you know, pick up the beans and go, oh, not feeling into this, and pick up another can. And so even go into the grocery store, I call it the making art out of the mundane, can be something quite beautiful. You don't have to just practice on your mat.
Art out of the mundane. There's a Sandyism.
Yeah. Art out of the mundane. I had to send you a video about that. I forgot to send that to you. So yeah, there's so much in our moment to moment. And that's what I mean, is that when people work with me, there's so much more that happens in between our sessions, because I want you to maximize your life. I want you to up level your life. I want to take the masculine and be able to go like, yeah, how are we going to squeeze so much nectar, you know, out of this amazing, you know, juicy orange, and then also be able to let it drip down your arms, you know, just take it all in, the effervescence of life, right? And be able to truly enjoy it. And listen, we're gonna bump up against things. So I take these limiting beliefs that we all have, and then, you know, through the work I do with energy healing and other things and embodiment, there's all kind of tools I have back here in my little ladybug backpack that I can pull out, the witch that I am. And I like for it to be fun. So I teach from a very feminine space, because there's a lot of variety in it. And I need it that way, because that's one of my, honestly, my top needs. I need things to be fun and exciting, and I need variety. I like the uncertainty of life, though I know that I'm doing well when I no longer call in a lot of drama and trauma, because I needed uncertainty, but I would do it in a toxic way, a very toxic feminine way. Now, my variety comes from the different way that I like to teach, or, you know, like inviting you guys to come stay with me in a few weeks, and then us having like this big fun weekend. I mean, that to me is just as delicious as all the deliciousness I used to feel when I was really stuck in some toxic patterns.
And it's all based upon getting love, right? That's the, we're driven as trying to get love, to be seen, heard.
God bumps. Yes.
And one of your other, well, first of all, the embodiment practice that you taught me that day, I really embodied, and to the point where I was walking very slow on every walk, right down to when I broke my elbow. Like when I would walk the dog, I was very conscious, and I have been ever since, of like putting one foot in front of the other. And it forced me to slow down. The elbow forced me to soften, which are the two things I really needed to do. I mean, this is what, 140 episodes in this podcast. I don't think anyone that's listened to my podcast would not agree that I needed to soften and slow down a little bit. But what has been most profound for me in what you've said today, which is what I really want to dive into this last bit, and I see it in my kid. I've seen it in me. I mentioned it to Ian, and he was surprised when I said this. He didn't understand it. And I wonder, and I'm curious from you, do you think this is more of a feminine, woman-embodied thing than a man, which is this concept of being found out? But I see it in Silas. Oh. I see that Silas is pushing envelopes so much to be found out, because he's so emotionally intelligent, so clever, so looking manipulative, but really it's about, and I did it. I'm watching my kid do what I did. Can I push? Who really sees me? Yep. Who really knows me? Who really has my number? And boy, if somebody had my kid's number besides me, it was freaking Sandy Sepler. She had freaking Silas's number. It was awesome to watch. I was like, oh, I'm taking a break. Sandy's got you for a minute. But I want to talk about this being found
out.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. No, and thank you. I love kids, and that's something that, like, not on my website, but I actually love working with kids. The kids that are, that, because I think, listen, we're all feminine until we go through puberty. Okay. We're all feminine. We go through puberty, or there's been some type of trauma that locks us into this masculine survival mode. Right. So I just want to state that. And so I do work a lot. I do work a lot with trauma as well. Because I think it's not super sexy when I'm working with people about relationship, but we've all experienced some, and that's what causes us to react or respond. 100%. Remember, I talked about the dangerous challenger, the Tammy and me. We want to be seen, heard, and understood. When I was getting my certification in home study for to adopt out of foster care, you better believe I didn't. This was like years ago, okay, before I was doing this work. They talked about that these kids are going to test you. They are going to test you because they don't believe that that they think that they're too much for you. They don't trust that you're going to be there for the long haul. They don't trust. And I'm like, holy crap, they're talking about me. That was me. I was like a feral cat going through life. You know, who is going to be able to, but it'd been if I was like in the grandiose space of like, oh, no one can handle me. Look at me. I'm too successful. I'm too this. I'm too whatever, which is a bunch of BS, which is really the little girl in me is like, they don't want me. Once I'm found out, they're not going to love me. I'm not worthy. They're not going to love me. You better believe that he's starting to go through his own puberty and he's wondering that the more testosterone is pumping through us, that's that part of us that wants freedom. Hello, masculine, freedom. And all of us, freedom, freedom, freedom. You know, I want to be an individual. I don't want sameness. The feminine, we want to be included. We want sameness. The masculine, all of us wants to be, you know, we want to stand out. We want freedom. We want to be able to, it's fascinating. So he's going through that right now. No one talked to me about that when my son started going through puberty, no one talks to me. They always talk about the girls, you know, having their period. But no, guys go through this too, their own identity. And where I know for myself, and when I'm working with mothers, I love working with moms because, I mean, we don't realize how we can emasculate our own boys, our young boys. When we tell them what to do, we don't let them be expressed. And I don't mean letting them cry, but I mean letting them have a say-so to let them make their own decisions. I mean, even an embodiment practice of when I'm working with families and, you know, it's Christmas time and someone's super anal about what the Christmas tree looks like and they don't want their kids to decorate the tree because they want to look a certain way. Let all the decorations stay at the bottom at their eye level. You can change them later with, later at night or something. But let these little guys help us. You know, just like I would say to the grown women, let somebody help you with your luggage. Let them open the door. So absolutely, you know, if you ever experience someone, a child, a partner, a man, woman, child wanting, acting out, bucking in the stroller, how would you feel if you were like literally seeing tushes all day long because you're eye level with asses, right? I mean, of course you want to be seen. Get down on your knees and look at them. And, you know, I see you. You know, I see you. What is it that you're wanting to express? And I guarantee that's what's going on with him because that's just, I see it. It's time after time after time. And so how can we be heroic parents allowing, you know, that fine line of the harmonization of allowing them to have their own experiences while we're also bumpers for them? It's not easy. I mean, I that course I have Sacred Respect, which is about how to no longer emasculate men and boys out there in the world, right? There's the 30-day practices you do to actually be able to ignite your partner. But we also have the kids version of that too, where you're able to actually light up the little boys in your life. And it really is, you know, it's fascinating to see it happen because they are looking to be honored. They're looking to be respected. I know the testosterone actually is built in the system when there's problems to solve. One of the reasons we have such a problem right now, especially in the States, is that, you know, men are afraid to be men here. You know, they're afraid to open doors. They don't know what's going to happen and, you know, to them. And so I'm like, push through it, dudes. Like, we need you to step up and step in. And the more masculine of the relationship and homosexuality, I mean, please, you know, whoever's more masculine, be more that. Because when you show up as sameness, everything just gets so neutralized. And, you know, I'll share this too. I was at a networking event, actually with Sophia, you know, when we were on Necker. And one of the questions that was asked at our mastermind was, you know, what is a trend? What is a movement now that in 20 years you think it might backfire in some way? And I'll tell you what I said. I said, this whole neutrality, gender, not just gender neutrality, But I'm talking about just, men being afraid to be strong, embodied, conscious, masculine men, and women, actually not, thinking that they can't be fully expressed, right? But again, we can go to the gender neutrality too, but we need drive. We need change. Change comes with drive. Change comes sometimes with not another minute more. It comes from sacred rage sometimes, a movement, a mama bear energy. Rosa Parks, not another minute more. I'm not sitting in the back of the bus. I'm going to the front of the bus, taking your child out of a school that no longer serves them, right? Leaving a relationship that, oh my God, I'm here again, but knowing that you've done everything you can and trusting your inner feminine knowing. And then your masculine is the one that's like, hey, babe, who are we going to call to help us pack our bags? And then you go. I'm fired up about all that, right? But yes, you better believe that if you're experiencing that, there's something in him that wants to be expressed. He's the feminine in him wants to be expressed, but the masculine in him, he needs to get permission to be able to do it. Now, we don't want our partners. The flip side is that we're adults in partnership. We don't want to be in partnership with a man who feels like he needs to get permission from us to do something. There's nothing ickier than that, than a man who can't make a decision or the more masculine being. Piss us off. Stand where you stand.
And it would be great to prevent. So, I think what we're talking about is if you're cultivating a child in this day and age and you have access to tools like this, please utilize them. And
yes,
happening.
Yes.
If you're on the other side of it in a relationship with a partner who has not been found out, who has pushed the envelope, pushed the boundaries, had all this dysfunction because they were just trying to be seen, heard, and understood, then know that and work through that.
Yes.
And that you have to do your own work first, because you're never going to change another person. And I feel like, what did you say? Call your own foul. Yeah, I'm going to call my own foul. I have done this so much in my life. It's why I could see it so obviously on Silas. And when I said to Ian, oh, hun, I did that my whole life. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, oh, I lied all the time. Why do you think I don't like lying now? I like full, complete, honest disclosure, because I lied constantly as a kid. I stole candy bars. I tried to see how much I could get away with because I wanted to know who could find me out, who could see what I was doing, and how much was I going to get away with in my whole life. And honestly, I've been with this man for 26 years. I have manipulated. I have dysfunctionally gotten love in all the wrong ways so that we could, thank God, love each other enough unconditionally to still be here. Mm-hmm. But I can't imagine another human being that would be with me other than Ian, because
that's that last, that's that last 5% where you go through the dark night of the soul of your relationship and you're in true committed partnership, not just marriage, when you roll over and you're like, damn, I made a mistake. Now what are we going to do? Because that's when the work is. Or, oh my God, why do we have all these kids? We had it made, and then that's when your dark night of the soul of parenting is. What do we do? There's a pivot that has to happen. And, when I talked about the walk of shame and that sacred strut we talked about, we've all had that walk of shame as mothers where we're like, darn, if I just would have known. And then we may beat ourselves up, but then we have to pick ourselves up by the scruff of our own neck and go, hey, babe, you did the best you could. Now what do you do? Where you are now. And, there is, to me, is that wanting to be found out is on the flip side of that is that, so what happens when you are? And that's the fun part too, is to be able to. And so when I'm working with a couple, whenever we're teaching men to be fully expressed, we're healing their feminine by allowing them to be expressed. We don't want them walking around always emoting, a grown man always emoting. So you set a timer and then, allow him to go on the sheepskin and be, wail or bat practice or gibberish practice, whatever it is, all the things I've got in my toolbox back here. And then when the timer goes off, you bow, you close out the practice, and then hopefully you're entering in polarity, because the hardest thing for us, the doers and all of us, the women who are where we are, is not to overcompensate and mother. And I think I mentioned this before we hit record, is something that I've really learned in this last certification, so I can bring, better teachings around partnerships, is, there's fight, right? When we're more triggered, there's fight and there's flight, and then there's fawn, but there's also fix. And I know for me, when I'm triggered, I'm a fixer. And that also has kept me in relationships a little too long sometimes, because I always think in this grandiose way that I'm going to come up with another idea that's going to be able to fix this, when sometimes sovereignty is saying goodbye and ending that, firing a client, for example, or realizing that, you know, maybe you need to bring some help in to help you, you know, with your child or whatever that is, or, you know, whatever it is, just whatever, how we do anything is how we do everything. But I think that for us to honor, to honor and then have allow, and there's so much more we'll talk about off the grid about these conversations. But I think that I see that the people parent better after doing this work that I'm sharing, because they're able to actually, their masculine is seeing it. You can observe it, right? You can observe it without your feminine going into like, oh no, what about me? What does this mean about me as a mother? Oh, you know, and it's because it's yin and yang. I can see it. I see it. Okay. And then you can feel it and you don't make it about you. And then you're able to actually then, what does the world need for this family to up level? And then that's where we act from there. You know, how we enter a relationship, Kelly, how we maintain it, how we repair it, but even how we leave a situation. And I don't mean just the relationship, but I mean, maybe even ascend to another level of the relationship. Those four quadrants, they matter equally. And I didn't know that 4 years ago. I mean, I knew some of that, but I didn't know it to the level and the depth that I do now, which is why I feel excited for the people that work with me now, because they all matter. They all matter equally.
And being able to confront fully without judgment where you're at with that and what you brought to the table in those four is the beauty of the embodiment work, I think, feel and know that I've experienced from what you do, is to help me on a personal level to go, okay, I can do simple things like walk a different way, speak a different way to Ian, because what happens is I start to become more and more of the witness, yeah, watching the emotional and the physical body interact together, the mental, emotional, and physical body interact together as I'm the witness, the spirit, watching it, going, okay, how am I doing? How am I doing? And I for our community at Flow, at True Wellness, that's what the work that we do is. I really want people to understand that you are the witness to this experience of life and to start to have fun with it and start to see where you're pulls are, you know, who are the strings that are being pulled, and do you want those strings? Are they supportive anymore? If not, cut them or help them weave together with the other strings, so you're not this like,
yes,
pulled body that's being torqued to be, you know, really feminine or really masculine, or asking the same of your partner, which right, is confusing as we're trying to evolve. As I mean, I think part for men, to be a partner to the type of woman that you and I are is not easy.
No. And they called us in. I remind my husband that all the time. And you chose me. It was not an
order. We're getting into it. I mean, he's not easy either on a whole nother level.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah, exactly.
Right. But having a relationship, I've always said having a relationship is challenging because you're not able to just run away and break away. And being single, I mean, you can look at anything and go, it's hard no matter what, right? The grass is always greener, however you want to look at it. But the reality is you always have to face yourself. I love this idea of looking yourself in the mirror. I love the idea of looking at yourself in the mirror naked and being more naked in your vulnerability of life in general. And
yeah,
you know.
Well, it's the art of selection. So if someone comes to me and they're single, there's a way. I always say, pause. You know, the woman that you're going to be in 90 days will attract a different partner. So slow your roll. And if you insist on dating, there's a way I'm going to teach you to date intentionally where you can have fun with it. And every partner is going to be, you're going to leave them even better. Even somebody who catfished you that shows up and they look completely different. There's a way that you can actually leave him in a way where he's going to be a better person. Because up until you, you know, you may, he's been able to get away doing whatever he's doing. So someone shows up.
Call him out.
And in a way that's sovereign, like, you know, I appreciate seeing you today. And I want to let you know where I'm at in my life. I'm calling in my noble warrior king that I can trust fully because I want to live fully expressed. And when I see you, you know, I'm making up the story I'm telling myself, is that there's something that made you not want to be honest about your picture, for example, about your picture. And so if you're going to be dishonest about that, where else will you be dishonest? There's a thread there. How you do anything is how you do everything. So I just want to let you know that based on our conversations and we had that great voice to voice, I would have met you just the same, because I think that you have a beautiful soul. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to leave this relationship right here of this small date, because this is like the best. If some people say it's the best it's ever going to be in this moment, and if this is how you're going to show up, I'm going to tap out. Then I hope this served you. That's better than going to the bathroom and ghosting and calling an Uber. I mean, that way you leave him better. That's why when during COVID, people like, oh man, this stings. I was like, darn, if I was single now, I'd be loving this. Because no safer thing than dating through Zoom. And to be fully expressed, you know, you learn these 10 archetypes that I teach, and you can show up on the date with one, and then you can have fun with that. I mean, I still do that now with my partner. But I mean, I'm like, golly, what a smorgasbord of all these people out there to be able to play with. And don't settle, but do it in the way that I like to share. We are embodying this, and then you're calling someone in, magnetizing everyone around you is enchanted, including, by the way, you know, little boys. And I don't mean in a sexy way, but they're like, what is it about Sandy that gives us a knife, or out there cutting up star fruit and, you know, all the things, and I've got freedom. And you know what I mean? There's something that we can do that we leave an indelible mark with everybody that we meet, including, you know, your beautiful family that we all fell in love with. And, you know, we just, you know, we want more. We want more of you guys.
And we want more of you. And how do they get more of you, speaking of which? So, you know, you work with people. Can you explain how the different ways you work with people so that they know how they can access this wonderful, beautiful work of body that you give?
Yeah. You can find me Sandy Sembler, but I know one of the things we're doing, I believe what Kelsey did is we have a code for your folks. So there's discounts for all the things. It's like a 10% discount code. So we have Sacred Respect, which is a self-study course, which is healing your own masculine and the masculine in the world. It's a 30-day relationship reset, and it's valuable. There's also sandysembler.com/quiz, real free, step in, gives you an introduction, and She Rises is a super intro course. Where my signature is that when I'm able to get, you know, you're working with me personally in my signature sisterhood group, which is a 5-month deep dive with other women. And then also my mentorship program, and all of that's on the website. Instagram's a great way to touch base with me. But yeah, make sure that
from DIY, like 30-day programs, to much more deep one-on-one sessions, eventually work with you. Yeah.
I started also offering one-offs. So I even do Voxer coaching, because I think there's something that happens in Voxer where someone can do a Voxer container with me. And I used to not
do that. We love Voxer. We have a great
I mean, I'm a generator of human design. So it's like, oh, respond. Yeah. And I find that if someone, you know, that works for people. So there's all different ways to work with me. And, you know, we're putting together a sisterhood now. We generally do it on the seasons, and you know, I'm in the midst of finishing up this book and all the things. So listen, I have a big goal to serve 12 million lives in our communities. And that's directly and indirectly, whether it's through, I work with a woman, it ripples to her family and it passes down, or it's in their community. Generally, when women work with me, they're able to hold more. They can hold groups more. They can, because they're all, or if they're a realtor, they're able to actually use this sacred theater to be able to express themselves more out there on social media and not feel weird about it. So, and people up level, they end up, you know, adding some zeros to their bottom line as well, because they're living in abundance, and they're also fully expressed, and they're less worried about what people are going to think. They've been dipped in that soul spiritual Rain-X, and all that other crap just rolls right off of them, and they're able to show up in their fullness. So, yeah, I play full out when I'm working with folks, which is why I generally work with like 10 to 12 one-on-one people at a time. And then I always have a sisterhood running and all the other things. So there's always ways to find me.
Oh, she's got a beautiful vibe and a beautiful tribe. And I highly recommend working with Sandy. And whether it's DIY or one-on-one, I mean, my whole perspective in life has changed drastically since we've met, and I really deeply love you and truly know your heart and know how much you just truly want to give out what you have
metamorphize in your life so that others can do it even more efficiently and effectively, so they can, as you so eloquently put, squeeze all the juice out and get it out and then let it drip all the way down and just enjoy the stickiness and all of it. It's, you're so beautiful and you've touched my feminine side so much. And
Thank you. You're
all so welcome for me meeting Sandy and softening the beginning of the thawing out of Kelly Kennedy, and more to come on that. But I really appreciate you. And I, SandySembler.com. What's your Instagram handle? Is it Sandy Sembler?
Sandy Sembler. Yeah, Sandy Sembler.
And all the links here and all the codes for everybody here in the show notes. But I know this will not be the end. I know Sandy and I have been talking about what we're going to do masterclass wise, because we both have such similar work that builds on each other. And like what I do, Sandy wants to get very practical, home, self-care over healthcare. This is your life. Yes, start enjoying it, start embodying it, and love all of it and surrender all of it. So
Thank you. And I want to say too, what you've offered me is, you know, understanding just fascia and understanding. I knew the issue was in the tissues, and I knew that trauma lives in the body. What you, the gift you gave me is really, and I'm ignited over it. I had a really recognizing that there were some things that had happened in my life, even a few years ago, that I had, even as embodied as I am, I realized that I just had kind of like, just stepped over it. And then the work with you, when you put your hands on me and started, you know, moving this tissue around, and then things were releasing, it was just that whole other level of healing, which quite frankly, if I wasn't as embodied, I would not have responded so quickly. So that's the gift of, you know, the symbiotic of us being able to do some of these embodiment practices that I'm talking about. And I also go deep in the limiting beliefs. And then so that way, when they're working with you, I mean, they're able to actually get so much more bang for their buck.
Yeah.
Then it's the ROI because it's the, you're not having to excavate through so much. So you really also just anchored in even more the gift of the reveal. And because I was so, again, I've learned this through practice, I revealed where I was in my life. You, of course, read bodies like I do, so I didn't have to probably say a word. You already would have known. But those spiritual teachers, our coaches, mentors, our doctors, our therapists, even our partners, our kids' teachers, people can only help us based on what we reveal. And our revealing is our expression of our feminine. I don't mean just our emotion, but I mean actually having the nerve to say what actually is really going on. I always say I can't solve a problem I don't know I have, period. So that's why it's so important, like my husband and I, it's like, you know, some things were going on with us and like I didn't even realize, because he's working on his feminine, right? His stuff with his mom, mama stuff. So he's like, oh, well, he was concerned that how I react. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't solve a problem that I don't know that we have. And so that was a gift that you gave me too. It just anchored and even more and validated how important the work that I do marries with so much more. And so thank you for welcoming me and, you know, and you not taking no for an answer when I was like, no, I'm good. And I tell you what, Kelly had me up in her hotel room and she's on top of me and all the things. I'm like, what's your last name? You know, like, what? And I'm like bawling and squalling. And if I can give you,
it was on Sound of Soul. And it was like,
I'm like, boom, boom, boom. And, but I will say this, if one last embodiment practice is, if you do start to cry, anyone, you know, notice how we always are blotting our eyes and wiping. No, I'm like, let that yummy, beautiful embodied tears flow. Let it just slide down your face, just like that nectar of the peach, and let it just fall in your bosom. It is such an honor. That is a symbol of reverence to me when I see someone crying, that they are allowing themselves to be witness in that. And even if no one ever sees the tears, but you've got the tear stains on your face, you know, allow yourself to be witness there. Don't wipe away your tears. Don't.
I could not agree with you more. I am always encouraging the women to not be embarrassed by their ability to relieve the tension in their body.
And men too. I mean, let's talk about how many men are fighting depression and such. I mean, men too. There's a time and a place, of course, that we talked about earlier, but feel the feelings. We have to feel to heal. I know that there's a new trend out there that you don't bullshit. I'm sorry. You've got to feel it.
Feel it, baby. Feel it to heal it.
Yeah. And if we feel it for more than 90 seconds, we know that we're addicted to that emotion. We get that. But we can get addicted to joy. Yeah. We can get addicted to wholeness. But for me, let me experience it all. And so I know you and I could talk for hours, and we both need to, you know, say the masculine in us is like, hey, you got it. We're like, no, oh, it's fun here. And yeah, that's it.
I know that the community really got a great taste of Sandy, and I really appreciate that, because you are truly a special gift, and we could go on and on, as you say, but I will definitely say thank you to all of you that have been with us this
year. Yes, thank you.
I really know that you felt this in your heart, and I look forward to hearing all the stories about how you have changed, evolved into showing your light even bigger in the world, and now that you're healthier and you're more vibrant than ever, and we look forward to watching that light shine. Thank you so much, Sandy.
Thank you. Love you.
Love you all. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Flow. If you took something from today's show, please make sure you subscribe and share it with a friend. I want you to step away empowered, enlightened, and having an increase in value and your vibration, knowing that your body has the innate ability to heal, so that you can attain true wellness. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next episode of Flow.